Well, we're certainly thankful for the chance to be back in the Word of God. And so I want you to look at Luke chapter number 12, if you would. And I'll continue preaching through Luke today. I may take a break next week for a message that God may be working on me on. But right now, I want you to look at Luke chapter 12, verse number 13. As you find your place in Luke chapter 12, verse 13, you know, I went to a wedding this past week. My niece got married, so I had to go over and celebrate her to that. And it's an amazing thing about these weddings. You got one side that's so excited and smiling. You got the other side that's crying because, I don't know, it just is the way it works out, I guess. And so I heard this story about this dad, his little boy. They'd been to a wedding, and they said, "Dad, is it true that this boy didn't want to marry anybody? He didn't like girls." He said, "Is it true that a guy's got to marry 16 ladies?" He said, "Oh, no, son, that's not right. No, that's, you don't have to do that." And he said, "Well, why would you even think that?" He said, "Well, that's what the pastor said, four better, four worse, and four richer, four poorer." He said, "That adds up to 16. He said, "I don't know why Uncle Tim just don't take the richer ones and the better ones. I don't know why he messed with those other ones anyway." So weddings. And so I did hear news just this morning that Jenica Reed, she got engaged. She was at the early service and here for Sunday school, but congratulations to her. And so a lot of good things happening. We're grateful for all of it. In Luke chapter 12, verse 13, "And one of the company said unto him, 'Master, speak to my brother, that he may divide the inheritance with me.' And he said unto him, 'Man, who made me a judge or divider over you?' And he said unto them, 'Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, This will I do, I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." We've got a great warning given here, and I want to preach about it for a little while. I'm not preaching on money necessarily, although that is the subject that the lesson, the message will be referenced, but it's not necessarily about your money or my money. We've got a great warning, and I want to correct many wrong statements that get made, because a lot of times people will think they're quoting the Bible, but they aren't, when they'll say that money is the root of all evil. That's not what it says. The Bible says, for the love of money is the root of all evil. And so we understand that, I want you to notice that there's no problem with having it, but what the problem is when we love it, and when our love of that makes us do things that we ought not to do. And so I was thinking about this. If you'd take, if I took some money out of my wallet, I'd rather take it out of yours, but I'll take it out of mine for right now. But you take this $20 bill. I wish they still made those $500 bills, and I wish I had a big stack of them, I tell you for sure. But you could take this out. Now, if your family's very big, kind of like beyond one, you can't pay for their meal for $20 much anymore, especially if you have very many of them. And it doesn't matter if you go to McDonald's, you still can't pay for a family, unfortunately, for that. But you could pay for your meal with something like that, and there would be nothing wrong with it. Or you could take it and use it on some illicit drug or something that you ought not to be involved in, and then there would be something certainly wrong with it. So it's not the item, it's how I use it. And so Scripture teaches us this about this money problem that's discussed here in this parable that Jesus gives, that when the things of this world hold you instead of you holding them, then you're in a big trouble. So what does money do? That's what I want to preach about this morning. And it depends. Do you have money, or does money have you? Because there's a lot of us that can fall in that trap of letting money dictate what we do instead of us dictating what the money does. So I want us to preach this passage in verse number 13, 14, and 15. We're going to see one of the negative things that money does, and that is it separates people. It separates people because look in verse 13. "One of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me. And Jesus said, man, who hath made me a judge or divider over you? In that day, it would have been typical for the older brother to get a double portion of whatever the inheritance was. If there were four children, it would get divided up five ways, and the oldest one would get two parts of the fifths, and that would be his payment, so to speak, for being the what we'd call now the executor. And so the younger brother presumably comes and asks Jesus, tell my brother to give me what's coming to me. There wasn't anything necessarily wrong with that. Jesus doesn't scold him for coming to say, hey, you've asked a wrong question. But what he does is goes to the heart of the matter. Often rabbis would have been brought, or they would have issues like that brought to them. And that's why this boy does this, or young man does this. And he was bringing it to him like a civil judge. Make sure he divides it up right and tell him to give me my money. It's coming to me. Well, I've watched, just like you have, watched families get torn apart after somebody dies. Good families, families that you thought they got along well, but families get torn apart over stuff. You say, oh, never to my family. I know, that's the same thing I've heard in other families as they, right before they got torn up over stuff that somebody did or didn't leave them. A name that most of the older folks in the, or the adults in the room would know, Aretha Franklin. She was an old secular singer. She died in 2018, but because of lack of clarity in the will and her wishes, it was 2023, I believe it was, before there was a legal decision that finally came down 5 years after her death to finally put forth in a legal manner where her estate was distributed to. Created a lot of tension in between her kids. And it not only happens to famous folks with lots of money, it happens to regular folks like us that don't necessarily have as much as that. But I want you to see that Jesus doesn't tell the younger brother, you're not right for asking those things. He's not that. He just goes to the heart of the matter and he tells him in verse number 15, take heed. You're thinking on these things. That's not necessarily wrong, but beware of something. Beware of covetousness. And so we see that this money, in this instance, it separates people. You should never let something separate you from someone. If you are letting things come between a family member that you're supposed to be connected with, then we ought to change our ways. We see it separates people. But look at verse number 16. Not only does it do that, but it also gives this false sense of security. And he spake a parable unto them, said, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. He says, wow, I've got so much. And he thought within himself, what shall I do? Because I have no room wherewith to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I'll pull down the barns. I'll build bigger barns. And look at, though, unfortunately, what he does in verse number 19. He tells his soul, he says to my soul, said, I told myself, basically is the equivalent. I told myself, I say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease. What money can do in all of our lives is give us a false sense of security, thinking that I've got everything taken care of. There's plenty of people in the hospitals around in our region that would give everything. They would turn over their accounts if only they could buy back the health that they've lost through some situation that they're currently in. The Bible says that that person said, I'll bestow all my fruits and my goods and I'll tell my soul to take its ease because I've worked so hard. You can just eat, drink, and be merry. And so what money does not only separate friends or separate people, but it also gives this false sense of security that everything's all right. And it is true that you have some extra money in the bank, you have emergency funds, and you have contingency accounts, you have all this. That makes things settle down in much, much nicer. And there's certainly nothing wrong with that. The Bible talks about planning ahead. But what there is something wrong with is when we count on those things to give us the security that they never can provide. And so we understand that whether it's your money, my money, or anybody else's, or whether it's somebody famous, Mike Tyson, was estimated to have earned around $500 million in his heyday. He made, as a matter of fact, $30 million on one fight as he was rematched against Evander Holyfield. $30 million. Yet that didn't keep him some years later in 2003 from declaring bankruptcy and being in $23 million worth of debt. I'm saying this morning that sometimes we think there's nothing that could touch me. There's no way that I could be knocked off my perch. My friend, please don't let money ever deceive you into thinking that you've got everything taken care of. We understand that money can do that. That's what it did to this fella. He said, I've got all of my goods. I've got all of my fruit. I've got all of the fruit of my labors. I've got all of this stuff. And so it put him in this lull, this false sense of security to think that everything was going to be all right. A high school friend of mine, his dad owned a rural trash collecting business, not the big trucks like they have with the little dumpster side, but just pickup trucks with a cage on the back, and you'd go down the rural routes, our road and a lot of roads, and you would just throw it in there, go to the next one, throw it in there. I was in high school, so I couldn't do that job, but I remember what they were paying, and I thought, As Ronnie told what his dad's, this position that his dad was looking for somebody, $250 a week. I thought, how could you spend that much money? I was making $3.35 an hour at McDonald's. I said, whoa, that's a lot. And I said, wow, if I ever made that much, I'd be loaded. And so I would like to say to the church that, you know, provides my salary, I've changed my position on that. I can spend that much and a lot more. But I thought, boy, you'd be set. $1,000 a month. Wow. It's as silly to think that then as it would be to take whatever number's big in your mind right now. Well, if I had that, then our family would be set. It was just as naive for me to think that could have never spent that or would have always been set with that $1,000 a month as it is for you to think about the number you've got in your mind right now. I'm saying this morning that if we're not careful, this money gives us this false sense of security. It makes it seem like it's a foundation that we can build our life on. One person put it like this: wealth is a tool to manage, not a foundation to trust. It's not something you say, wow, I can build my life on this. No, if you're building your life on anything but Jesus Christ, my friend, you are on shaky ground, and you and I need to build our lives on salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. Please don't lull yourself to sleep to think that everything's all right. That's exactly what the person in this parable said. I've got everything ready. I'm going to take my ease. I'm going to eat, drink, and be merry. And there are people all around our area, and undoubtedly there are some right here in this room that we're just thinking that everything's good. My accounts are flush. My life is in order. Everything is like I want it. I'm just going to let it ride right now. It gives a false sense of security. Jesus told the guy that asked him, he wasn't putting him down, but he said, your son, you're thinking about an area that you're going to have to be careful on, because take heed, that just means pay attention, guard against this, and beware of covetousness. Because if you're not careful, you start thinking about that so much, it will overtake you. So it gives that false sense of security. Number three, the last one is this. In verse number 20 and 21, I said, first of all, it separates people. Money has that tendency. People start getting that green-eyed monster of jealousy and greed and thinking, that's mine. It separates, but it also gives that false sense of security. Number three, it makes us neglect our spiritual needs. It makes us neglect our spiritual needs. Verse number 20, but God said unto him, thou fool. The strength of Jesus' statement there in this parable, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? In the parable, he's not even saying that that person didn't work for those, because he did. You've provided them. But now who's going to take care of those things now? Do you know everything that you hold dear, everything that you have in your accounts or between your mattress or buried in the backyard, wherever it's at? Everything except those things buried in the backyard. They may not find those if you don't tell somebody where they are. All the rest of it, somebody is going to find it one of these days and divvy it up. Maybe it's your child. Maybe it's whoever you've written to your will. Maybe you didn't write one, and it'll just be distributed by the state or by somebody. But the parable asks, then whose shall those things be that thou hast provided? If we're not careful, we can get our eyes all on this money and lose sight of the spiritual things. You know, as pastor, that's one thing that I have a great concern about. I do feel like the Lord wants us to step forward, and we'll be talking to you more in the months to come about a building, if that's what God would want us to do, and I believe it is. But one thing I don't want us to do is worry about a thing, because it's not just money in an account, but stuff. I don't want stuff or buildings or anything else to have us take our eyes off what we're really here for. We're here for the souls of men, women, boys, girls, people everywhere that don't even know about us yet, but we need to get the message out to them. And so what happens is, though, as we get increased with goods and as we get all things lined up and we get flush with cash or whatever it is, then if we're not careful, then we can find ourselves neglecting our spiritual needs. And we could do it as a church if we're not careful. You could do it as an individual if you're not careful. You could do it in your family. Say, listen, my retirement accounts are full, are being contributed to on a healthy basis. We've got this much as an emergency fund. My salary is awesome, and this is good, and this is good. Nothing could go wrong. One call that I could get this week from a doctor or you could make all of the stuff that we're counting on matter not one bit. I'm not telling you that to depress you. I'm just telling you that so that you'll put your faith, your trust, your reliance, your dependence on the right thing. And that right thing is a person, the Lord Jesus Christ. But this can make us neglect our spiritual needs. Again, the adults in the room will know the name J. Paul Getty. He died in 1976. He was one of the wealthiest people in the world. As a matter of fact, in 1957, Fortune magazine called him the richest living American. He was the one that there was a famous kidnapping of his grandchild. His parents had had some odd religion, but as far as I know, none of their family, none of their family gave testimony of salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. I hope he was. I don't know. He made millions in the oil industry, but no evidence he was ever born again. Truly, if he wasn't, and I hope he was, truly, though, if he wasn't, he would bring to pass would illustrate the truth of Scripture where it says, what shall it profit a man if he gained the whole world? Could have bought anything for sale, anywhere, and lose his own soul. But with great wealth and great platforms brings the danger of trusting in that wealth or those platforms instead of turning to God. And so if you're here this morning listening, could I tell you this? Whatever you've got isn't good enough to get you from here to glory land. The only way that a person can go to heaven is through faith in Jesus Christ. And then if you are saved this morning, you do know the Lord as your Savior, but you're like me, like every other Christian, you have this tendency sometimes to put a little too much confidence in accounts and finances and having it all taken care of. Can I tell you, my friend, you're on shaky ground there because you're going to have to trust the Lord for your sustenance. You're going to have to trust the Lord for your future. You're going to have to trust the Lord in every single area. John Rockefeller, another one of the richest people in history, is quoted as saying, when somebody asked him in his drive to get more and make more, how much is enough, I'm told that he was asked. And he responded simply, just a little bit more. He was a driven individual. Another person who was of singing fame, ask how he got through different difficulties and problems in life. And he held up a $100 bill and he rubbed it in between his fingers and he said, this helps. As I mentioned, there's people down at the hospital at UT and at ours right here at Johnson City Medical Center that would turn loose of every bit of money in their accounts if they could only have the doctor reverse or take back the words that he or she said and make that diagnosis not true. Bible says a very interesting phrase in verse 21 as we close. So is he, meaning in that same fashion, that fellow that built his barns, but that night he died. So is he that layeth up treasure for himself. Meaning he puts up money, he does invest in accounts, and he does have all of these things taken care of, and is not rich toward God. What does that mean? Well, a man that's not rich toward God means that he doesn't have the richness of his salvation settled. He doesn't have his faith in Christ. My friend, please don't go out of here thinking that, Pastor, preached against money. As a matter of fact, it's the median right now that God has given us in our economy that we live in, that we support great needs, even spiritual needs, mission items and things. But also it's the way that you get the needs for your family. It's the way that you're a blessing to somebody. If somebody's in need, you help them. You pay their electric bill possibly, or you buy them groceries. You don't go to the grocery store and say, hey, I want to barter some of this stuff. There's nothing wrong with having it, as I mentioned in the first part of the sermon, as long as it doesn't have you. My mama and papa, they lived in this farm. And they bought this farm, not the farm down the road further, for one reason. They bought the farm where they lived, where every time I went to see her, that's where she'd be. They bought that farm, not the one on down the road, because that one was close enough to walk to their church. And they were afraid the other one would be too far for them to walk. They didn't have a car. My papa later bought a brand new Bronco back when they were popular the first time, when they first made them. But up until then, they didn't have a car. He didn't have a driver's license. Didn't need one. He eventually got a job with the state road, and he would walk out his little road up to the hard road up top of the hill in 87, and some coworker would pick him up out there, and they'd go into the state road garage, the barn, and then they'd go work. But I've always thought about that. The farm that they lived on was theirs because it was close enough to walk. Their spiritual walk, not the walk they did, but their spiritual walk was important enough to them that they didn't want a chance missing church on a revival night. So they bought that farm so they could be close enough. And I would say this morning, you may not be buying a farm. Your farm could be another 3 miles down the road, and it wouldn't bother you. We'll just drive. 3 miles won't matter. But you get the principle, right? That we ought to make our decisions in life based on what the Lord would have us do. That's being rich toward Him. That's valuing the things that matter most. And so this morning, are you rich? Preacher, I ain't rich. I don't mean that rich. Because somebody in this room, I don't know who you are, somebody in this room has more money than anybody else in this room. If you are, please raise your hand. I'm just joking. Don't do that. You'll never get out of here. People say, hey, could I borrow $10? Could I borrow $100? But somebody is. And somebody's got the least. But the person who has the most may not be rich toward God. And the person who has the least may be so rich. Their faith is in Christ. Their trust is in Him, not only for salvation, but for His sustenance and for His guiding and His leadership. My friend, so is that person that has this world's goods, but they're not rich toward God. Money is a good thing to have because we need it in so many areas of our life, but it's a horrible master for you to serve. And so there's been many a person who didn't love their family as much as they should because they were chasing more money. And as if kids would be saying, please, Dad, I'd rather have you than money. But we looked at a few things that money does in a negative. And again, please don't go out saying that I'm against it. I'm not. But I am against when we let it control us because it was never meant to do that. That's not its purpose. Would you bow your heads together with me? Father, I pray that we've got a people in this room that are rich towards You. Lord, I pray that everybody would do some soul searching right now. I don't care how much is in people's accounts. I don't care how much is in anything that they have. Lord, what I do care is that everybody has their faith placed in You, Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that there's not one that's listening on the radio or watching on a live stream that would leave this time of introspection without making sure that their faith is in Christ, their hope is in Him, their trust, their reliance is in Him for the forgiveness of their sins. And Lord, if there's somebody that needs to put their faith in Christ, I pray that today would be that day. Please, dear Lord, make it so. My friend, maybe you need to be saved. Brother Daniel will be down here at the front. We'll play just in a moment, and I'd like to invite you to come. Maybe you've been that Christian, though, that you do know the Lord, but you've been placing way too much emphasis on the money. The people that sit with you and live with you in your house, they're a whole lot more important than your bank account. Let's put the emphasis on the right thing. We're going to baptize a few here in just a moment. Maybe you need to join them. Maybe you say, "Well, Pastor, I'm saved. I need to be baptized." I invite you to come. Maybe you need to join Buffalo Ridge. You want to present yourself for that. Whatever the God's work on your heart, I challenge you not to leave before you do business with Him as they play. And if you're able to, just for a moment, we'll have you seated a little bit again because of the baptism. But if you're able to, would you stand together with me? And make it easier on somebody to get out, because I really do want, if somebody needs to be saved, my friend, please don't leave without getting it settled. That's a hard message at the end to come to and say, "Well, I've been valuing money too much." What will people think? Well, number one, it doesn't matter what people think. But number two, you don't even have to come forward. That's fine. You just do business with the Lord right there. Tell Him, say, "Lord, forgive me. I've been putting too much emphasis on things, stuff, money, accounts, retirements and investments, and none of those wrong." You'd be silly to live your life without putting stuff aside for later. But please don't mistakenly think that those are all going to be your security. Your security is going to be what your security's always been, and that's the Lord. He's the one that lets you have those things anyways. Let's look to Him. As they continue to play, if God's speaking your heart, I invite you to come.
Amen. You can be seated if you're able to stay with us for just a few more minutes. We'll have a baptism of just a few young people this morning. We're excited about that. But while we wait for them to get ready, we're going to sing a song that is really just about that. It's about obedience to the Lord, 391 in your songbooks. Trust and obey. When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, there's no better way just to trust and obey. Let's sing this together. When we walk with the Lord, in the light of His Word, what glory He sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. For there's no other way to be happy.
rejoicing with Sadie, and she came some weeks ago. We've been talking about being baptized, and she knows the Lord as her Savior, and she's actually been practicing baptizing other people in the pool, so she's been ahead of the game. But we're thankful for her, and her faith in Christ is strong, and we're grateful for her testimony. So, Sadie, we're going to have you turn around here toward Mom. In obedience to Jesus Christ, and because of your profession of faith, I baptize you in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Buried in baptism, raised to walk in newness of life. All right. These girls, Brother Cabe and Elena's girls, sisters, you can come on down too. Better than being cold, huh? All right, these girls, sisters right here. These girls are precious, both of them. And got you there. And we're thankful for their faith in Christ. And Brother Caleb and Miss Elena, God brought them back up this way. And we're very grateful for them. And, of course, just to the connection. You know, Kim's one of our piano players, and these are her granddaughters. And they're sweet girls, have a wonderful testimony of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And they want to follow Him in believer's baptism. In obedience to Jesus, and because you're a profession of faith, I baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Buried in baptism, raised to walk in newness of life. And here's her good sister. We thank the Lord for both of them. In obedience to Jesus, because you're a profession of faith, I baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Buried in baptism, raised to walk in newness of life. Well, it's a joy to see our church families just be blessed so much by their children coming to faith in Jesus Christ. And what a wonderful, wonderful thought it is. So, Brother Caleb, would you mind coming up the platform and dismissing us? He's excited for today because two of his little ones follow Christ in baptism, and they got to lead him to the Lord. But what a joy it is. And so, Brother Todd right there, what a joy to see Sadie be baptized as well. And so, God bless each of you, and I invite you back tonight. We have a wonderful time in God's house. And so, Brother Caleb, would you pray for us?
Let's pray. Dear Lord, what a blessing it is to see our children baptized this morning, Lord. And Lord, I'm thankful for a church, Lord, that's going forward for the gospel, that's seeing lives saved, Lord, and those baptized. I just pray, Lord, that you be with us, watch over us, and keep us safe this afternoon, Lord. In your name we do pray and ask it. Amen.